Amen to that. We're going to use some fancy technology today. Brother Daniel tells me that this should work. Everything that I ever touch with technology doesn't seem to work, but we're going to try this. All right, so there we go. We're in the second half of the last part of Romans chapter 12. Brenda Dangert told me today, she says, somebody must want me to listen to Romans 12 because there's been some Bible studies and folks talking about gifts in the Christian church. What makes this so relevant to me today is, what does it really mean for us to be a church? And I think typically we tend to think of church like come to this place, right? And yet, if you talk to someone in the New Testament period, someone living in Rome, as Paul is writing these words, do you go to church? Paul, do you go to church? No, I don't go to church. Sometimes we get the idea that when people went to the synagogue, they were going to church. It's not true in any way. Typically, you'd go to synagogue and you'd have a rabbi that you would listen to. And the reading for the day, you may take that in. But that was not necessarily a weekly affair. When you went to the temple, your primary purpose was sacrificial, right? Sacrificial. So people didn't go to church. And the idea was, well, church isn't something you can go to, right, Don? The term church is ecclesia, the ones who are called out, the ones who are called out. So church is not a place as much as it is what? A people. And as the people of God, how are we living? Are we living in such a way that we truly believe? I always picture this with Paul. Do we truly believe? Lloyd, have you ever truly believed? Just think of this, that as a church, this one thing right here, God has put enough gifts into this room that together, if we come down on our knees, if we practice what God's called us to here, if we live the way God's called us to live, do you believe, actually believe, don't answer this question, just answer for yourself, that this church could change this city for Jesus Christ? Do you believe that? And if you believe that, why do we not live like that? Why do we not live like that? Two questions. And I want you to put them into your mind, because I'll just be honest with you, very transparent. I've been part of church since I was a little kid. And you know what? It's always been a good thing. Learn about Jesus Christ, understand who he is, understand what it means to be saved. God's taken this life. And when we talk about gifts, in a very strange way, God has said, Luke, you're going to be one person who is going to interact with a lot of unbelievers. And that's just been my life. But I don't think I've ever been part of a body where you just really gut-wrenchingly believe, this city is going to change. This city is going to change. In the name of Jesus Christ, we're going to take the gifts that we have. We're going to take the things that we do. We're going to steer them not so much towards making ourselves feel comfortable. We're going to steer them towards what it means to change people's lives. Okay? So I hope we just think that way, because it's the way that Paul is thinking as he's speaking to the church in Rome. This is a significant time in history. A page in history is turning. The church has forever been focused on trying to reach Jewish people. You know, go first to the lost house of Israel. That page is turning. And it turns through the book of Romans as Paul is saying, well, look, Israel at one time, that was the bloodline of Jews that God called. Israel today is what? It is spiritual Israel. And God's going to work through spiritual Israel to reach the Gentiles who don't know him. So we've kind of gone through in chapter 12 what we call the gift passages as a way of maybe having each one of us stop again. And here comes Barrett. Thank you for coming today, Barrett. Barrett's got some gifts. In fact, I just challenged Barrett at the Halloween trunk or treat the other day. So I got two committees. You'd be good at both of them because you would. You have the gifts for them. I said, Barrett, which one do you want to be on? Did you notice I didn't give him a choice to not be on one? That was purposeful, Barrett, because you have gifts. You should use your gifts, right? Dennis, when you're out there greeting people, the way that you just interact with human beings, it's phenomenal. You're using gifts. Those are gifts that you have. You know, last week I pointed out, where's Fritz? He's in the back. He likes being in the back. He likes being in the trench. He likes being on the lawnmower. He likes what? Serving. It's a gift of servanthood. Some of you have the gift of generosity. You really do. You have the gift of generosity. You know, here it is at the beginning of COVID, and what are the risers doing? They're like, hey, we want to take care of the staff. Here's some money. Buy them a lunch. It's generosity, right? I got a guy sitting up here who says, I know that this is probably not a good time to sell stock, but I'm going to sell some because I want the carpet to be on the front of that Life Center deal. It's generosity. It's a gift. How do we take our gifts and use them for the Lord? But I want to say this, our gifts are not effective if we don't have built underneath those gifts a way of life that is in sync with what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. That's where we're going to go today. When you get to verse number 9 and following, what Paul is doing as he closes out chapter 12, he says, okay, you've got these gifts. We're going to use them. We're going to change Rome in the name of Jesus Christ. Got all the gifts we need, but we have to live the way God has called us to live. This is the foundation underneath the gifts, all right? Again, we cannot be effective if we don't actually live it out, if we're not seeking God, help me to be who you've called me to be. So we're going to start into those words. We'll pray, and then we'll dive in at verse number 9. Let's pray. Lord, we're coming together as a people who are in a different kind of Rome. I believe that. It's called America. And as Rome slowly but surely fell further and further and further away from even what it means to be decent in life, America today is challenged at every front. Lord, I don't believe you've called us just to give up or to say, well, the world's just gone. You called us to go into it, to be salt, to be light. Lord, to be the body that uses the gifts you've given us to come into Rome and say, you're going to know Jesus Christ through his word. Lord, today help us get challenged individually as we look at the kind of the characteristics of what it means to just belong to you. Lord, I'll just pray for that in Jesus' name. Let's say it together. Amen. Okay, let's go to verse number 9. Paul starts in, I think, with the very first and right word, namely the word love. He says, all right, got all these gifts, but they're not going to work if, point number one, your love is not, what's your translation say? What's the next word? Sincere, genuine, what else? Say again. Hypocrisy. Okay. So when I look at this in the original text, here's what it says. Let your love be apart from, away from judgment. We call that hypocrisis, hypocrisy. Okay. So it says it this way. Let your love be apo hypocrisis. Let your love be apart from coming under crisis, judgment. Now that works two ways. Okay, so let me kind of walk through this with you. The first thing is the word love. When you go to the book of Revelation, remember what John is being called to do. He's speaking to the church, and he's speaking as Jesus' voice directly to these churches throughout Asia Minor. And remember the first church that he speaks to is the church in Ephesus, modern-day Turkey, right? And the first words out of his mouth are these. He says, I have these things for you. And he goes on to talk to the Ephesians. The Christians living in Ephesians are doing a great job of testing false teachers. They're doing a great job of really doctrinally helping people understand who Jesus Christ is. But then he says, this I have against you. And it's the very first church he's speaking to. I think there's intentionality about that. Here's what he says. This I have against you, you have lost your first love. Repent. Turn it around, church, turn it around, or I will come, and he says, I will remove your lampstand. That's the Holy Spirit. I will remove your lampstand. That's the Holy Spirit from its place. You're now dead. Dead church. Listen to me. They're all over America. Dead churches. You walk in them. You're like, hey, look at this church. It's a great church. It's got a beautiful building. They got hymnals. Man, they got a pipe organ. Listen to that thing. Oh, it's great. That's awesome. It's dead. There's no life in it. You'll know it almost like that. The Spirit of God knows it faster. Love starts this way, right? In order for us to really effectively use our gifts, first it's this. You are loved by Jesus Christ. Now, as one loved by Jesus Christ, go out and love others apart from judgment, without hypocrisy. One of the things I want us to know about lost people, unbelievers in our community today, Grand Island, is so many folks who look at the church as being what? Hypocritical. Is that true? Okay, so let's say you're having a conversation and somebody says, man, you go to this church. What church do you go to, Mark? You go to some Peace Lutheran. That's a hypocritical church. That church is filled with hypocrisy. How do you respond to that? Is your first response like, oh, no, we're at peace. We're at peace, man. We love everybody. That's not my first response. What's your first response? You're right. Why do you think we came? Why do you think we exist? There's a part of us that does place people under judgment. That person did that. That person did that. That person did that. You can't use the gifts that God has given you to serve those apart from Jesus Christ unless your beginning place is, the mess that I've made, have been forgiven by God. And as one who has been forgiven by God, I seek to take that same forgiveness out and live it in a way that the people who I connect with, the people who I intersect with, can come to know that I love them. I care about them. No matter what. No matter what. I love you no matter what. That's where it begins. Love be apart from judgment. Hypocrisy. Putting people under judgment. Start with love. I've shared this before because it's always been a great example to me. But I still remember reading the story of Craig Greshel. Some of you know the name Craig Greshel. Pastor in Oklahoma City. Started Life Church. When you take your phone out and you say to yourself, hey, I think I'll get a Bible app. And you go to your app store, whether it's the Apple store or the Android store, it doesn't matter. The very first app that'll pop up, the one that's been downloaded more than any other Bible app in the world, they built that app. Life Church did. They are a group of people who said, our gifts, we don't have all the gifts, but our gifts really, really could be used to use technology to reach people in new ways. They created that Bible app. They're very active online, right? So one of the things they try to do is on a day-to-day, through-the-day, through-the-night basis, how do we take the people God has given us, use these gifts to connect with folks who are out there that will never walk into a church? So I want you to imagine the elders meeting. How many of you have ever been on an elders board? Okay, now make your face go something like this. Sometimes we think of elders like that. That's not fair. We have happy elders at this church, right? But imagine the elders board where the pastor walks in, he goes, I have got a great idea. And everybody's like, oh, what's your idea? And here's what I want to do. We're going to take our budget. We're going to budget $50,000, every quarter, and we're going to buy ads to go online. And we're going to try to connect with people online who wouldn't come into a church, because when they look at the church, their first thought is, you people are hypocritical. That's a great idea. That's a good idea. Let's 50,000 is a lot. Could we make it 5,000? No. See, that's what we would do in the Lutheran church. You'd be like, what can we get for 5,000? No, it's 50,000. It's 50,000 a month. Well, okay, I guess, gulp. Do you think we can raise 50,000? Listen, if we believe that God's calling us to do this, he'll supply. Isn't that true? You know, we put this little, here's this little 5-year plan we put out. Shannon Syme's son, I forget what grade he's in. He's going to be the president someday. He told me he is. He got that thing, he opened it up, he goes, who wrote this thing? Pastor Luke write this thing? No, Pastor Luke didn't write this thing. He goes, this is too much. We can't do all this right here. I get a kick out of that. That's just funny to me. You know what? He's right. We can't. He can. Through us. 50,000, we can't. There's no way we can. 50,000 is a lot of money. What are we going to do with those ads? Oh, we're going to buy them and put them on porn sites. Did you just say... Thorn sites? No, porn sites. Oh, Pastor, this isn't going to work. You're not going to announce this to the people, are you? I was thinking about it because we got to raise $50,000 a month now. Well, that's the dumbest idea I've ever heard of in my life. Is it? So they did it. And here's what happens. Every day, all day and night, they have people who are working the computers. All there sit there and they wait for responses. Somebody goes onto a porn site. Bing! They're like, oh, yeah. And up comes this pop-up ad. Looking for porn? Visit lifechurch.tv. Church. Now, for me, I think about that. I'm like, well, that's the... No, nobody is going to push that button and go to Life Church. It's phenomenal. The thousands upon thousands every month that go click. You know why? Because the Spirit's at work. He's at work everywhere. At night at 2 a.m. in the morning when this guy's like click. And this guy goes, man, I'm a wreck. I need help. And somebody's sitting there at a keyboard and says, hey, where do you live? There's some churches in your area. I want to tell you about those because there's some churches. Not only are there churches out there, but we've built a network with churches out there who have some ministries that are aimed at helping you get porn out of your life. We believe it'll destroy you. If you're married, we think it'll destroy your marriage. If you're not, we think it'll destroy your future marriage. No matter what, it's going to get inside of you, and you'll never get it out of you. And you can't beat it. But we got some churches out there. Are you interested in those churches? There's a sense in which that person on the other line knows, okay, you're a church. I've always seen you as a hypocrite. But here you are, serving me. Here you are with me at a time when I absolutely need help. And you care about me. There's a reason that the very first words that Paul uses that stand underneath the gift that we have is the word love. Apart from this love, we're nothing. Right? What does Paul say in 1 Corinthians? He says, if you do whatever you do, you use your gifts, if you use them apart from love, you're like what? A gong? Just a bunch of sound, just a bunch of words. Blah, blah, blah. Let love drive things forward. This is one of the things I try to put in check in my own life. Because the reality is there's a part of us that we do put people that are different than us, and mostly folks we're like, they don't look like us, they do things that we think are bad. I don't love them. I don't love them. The minute I'm not loved, I sense you don't really care about me, I'm gone. And that's what Paul is saying. You're going to go into Rome, for goodness sakes. And remember, Rome, you walk down the streets and the columns on the buildings, many of them are shaped like male phalluses, right? There are temples dedicated to prostitutes. There are prostitutes coming after you. And that's where you're going. If you go out there with this kind of Jewish mindset, we're the chosen ones and you're not, and you don't love people first, start there, guess what's going to happen? They'll walk away from you. Look at who you are. You are a chosen one, chosen by God and loved by God. Start there. Let love be without, apart from hypocrisy. Now notice the very next words bring balance to that. Abhor evil. There's a balance to it. This is not contradictory. There's a balance to it. Okay? So love without hypocrisy. Meet people where they are, right? I'm gonna love you where you are, but abhor evil. Now here's the interesting thing. In the original language, the term abhor means literally to be at war with. Be at war with what? Evil. Okay? Now, kind of note the balance here. Sometimes we use cliches in the Christian church, so I'll say, well, God, you know, God loves the sinner but hates the sin. Sometimes that just becomes a cliche. There's a very real sense in which God, honestly, if I'm honest, theologically, I'd say God hates sin, and he hates the sinner, the one who is apart from him, is separated from him. There's a sense in which we can say that. And there's another sense in which you say, well, that hatred is a jealousy for that person. I want them to come to me. I want them to come to me, right? And so this balance is, I'm going to go out and I'm going to meet people where they are, and I'm going to start with love. That doesn't mean that I just compromise my beliefs. It doesn't mean that I say, oh, you know what? Well, that porn's really not so bad. No, it is bad. That's the whole thing of it is. I'm at war with that. I'm at war with things that I see in this culture are destroying lives. And so the balance is, you know, to be the church is to love people, to meet people where they are, but not to compromise. There's never a time when I want to say to someone who's stuck in sin, it's okay. It's all okay. God just loves you just the way you are. Just let, you know what, you keep doing what you're doing and you're going to be fine because God loves us all. No. In my life, that's really had to be lived out mostly amongst people that get stuck in homosexuality. And to love that person has to be genuine, has to be apart from, I'm not going to just put you under my judgment, right? I'm not going to try to pretend I'm not somebody who also has sin in my life. I will tell you that I do. I'm going to love you. But I'm never going to say to you, oh, you know what? This is okay with God. When churches go that direction, the balance is lost. And I can no longer serve you. I can no longer help you. For us as a church, you know, I think it's important to say, okay, in our city, what are things that are destroying lives? What are things that are coming after people? And our city is not different than cities across America. You can pinpoint them. You can say, these are things that are destroying people. To be at war with those things does not necessarily mean that we stand up and decry them. That's bad, and that's bad, and that's bad. It's that we recognize that those things that are at war with God, they're traps. People get stuck in them. I'm going to use one example. Don't shoot me. Tom Osborne. been on TV a little bit lately. He has. One of my good friends sitting in this room won't use his name. He sends me a note. He says, I'm kind of confused about this gambling issue. Kind of sounds good. Keep the money in Nebraska. There's Tom. You listen to Tom? Tom voting for gambling in Nebraska? No, Tom's not voting for gambling in Nebraska. Tom says, vote no on these three things. Why does he say that? Well, in the political world, people try to spin it and make it sound like it's about money, economics. Not for Tom. For Tom, he's seen it up close and personal. If you're in the sports world, you know this is true. Today, Sunday, God's day, I can't even begin to tell you probably the millions of people that will bet on NFL teams. There's a percentage of those people for whom gambling will become an addiction. And not only an addiction, but an addiction to the point that they lose their homes. They lose their well-being because they're stuck in a trap. For Tom, what he's saying when he says vote no against these, it's not about economics. It's about, hey, who are we as a people? Are we a people who want to put people at peril? And his vote no is a very simple, I am at war with a trap that I think can destroy people. For churches, I think the best way to be at war with some of the things that destroy people is to think about, well, then how do we help people get out of those traps? How do we help them get out of those traps? It's not just voting no. It's where are their ministries? And this church, by the way, we support some ministries in this city that are meant to help get people out of traps. And that's part of what it means to be at war with what's going on in our culture, is to say, we are going to do that. We're going to support these organizations. In some cases, churches may decide, you know what, God's given us a gift mix that will allow us to directly minister to people who are stuck in some traps. Churches may say, we're going to create a celebrate recovery group that is aimed at bringing Jesus' word into the battles that are going on in people's lives. That's what it means to be at war with those things that are evil. Kind of interesting, by the way, the term evil. You know what it is in Greek? Porneia. Porneia is evil. Those things that turn someone into a something to be used by another human being. Porneia, that's what it is. And so he's saying, guess what the devil is constantly seeking to do? Take away love. Now people become objects for your good, usually economically. He says, fight against that. Those traps are there. They're taking people in. They're sucking them down. And they're killing them. And he just adds to that this idea of holding fast to that which is good. Holding fast to that which is good. I don't think that's easy to do in our world today. I know, for example, probably today, there will be people who are upset with, Pastor, you said this, and I disagree with that, and you're talking about this political issue. I'm like, it's not political. We're going to talk about abortion today in our message. It's not political. It's biblical. And there are people, yeah, that's just bad. I don't want to hear that from the pulpit. We don't need to hear that. It's hard to hold fast to that. In a world where we have people standing up and saying, hey, this is just a fetus, and it's hard to hold fast to it. It's hard to hold fast to the things that God has set into place. But if we do not, the Church of Jesus Christ will collapse. In this country, it will collapse. And I'm finding that in our world today, I go online, I listen to sermon after sermon after sermon after sermon. It is phenomenal the number of pastors and churches that no longer hold fast to the truth. We just let it go. Yeah, that's okay. Yeah, that was bad back then, but it's okay. It's okay now. No. Our calling is to meet people where they are, to love them apart from hypocrisy. They need to know that. It's to try to set them free from those traps that people get stuck in, because I'm at war with those things. And it is to say, we're going to hold fast to the things we know will bring life into you. The things that we know will bring life into you. We're going to stop there, and we'll pick up next week. I hope what you're starting to pick up is it's challenging words. Challenges me. What does it mean to be the church? It's gifts. Yes, it is. But it's more than that. It's being built on a foundation that recognizes who we are in Jesus Christ and what it means to be Jesus to other people. Let's pray. Lord, as we close today, just want to ask for your presence in this church. As we think about a page that will be turned in history this week, in a country that desperately needs you. Lord, you've called us to hold fast your truth. You've called us to be at war with the very things that suck people into traps that they can't get out of. And you've called us to love like you've loved us. Lord, keep that forefront before us as we go into this battle this week, and help us live in a way that really shows you to another soul. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God's blessings on